Yes, you're back in the studio here with me, Liam Nolan, your host for Lifeline. Joining us, Eugene Kelly and June Carroll are here in the studio with me, and they're going to speak about the Stardust. So brace yourselves, folks. Now, Eugene Kelly, he lost his brother Robert, and June Carroll McDermott, who lost her two brothers, George and William, and her sister Marcella. Now, I'm going to pass you over to Eugene.
Hello, good viewers. Hope you're going to take in what I'm actually going to say this morning.
And June, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liam, for having us.
You're very welcome, June. Very welcome. No problem.
Listen to us, which I know they are.
Okay, so where are we now? So we're going to start off after a long campaign of looking for truth and justice. A submission was given to the government in September 2006, where it showed the omissions and the errors containing the original tribunal held in 1981. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, please, for me, Eugene?
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, all the evidence has gone through, and the evidence has always been there anyway. My point is, down the years, from the time of the Stardust, they didn't do their job. The fact that just after the Stardust, that there was people able to walk into this, into these premises at the time of the thing, and there was no protection for people. People could have walked in that building and something coming down on top of them anyway. But cut a long story short, as far as I'm concerned, that down the years, as far as I can see, they just didn't do their job. As far as I'm concerned, that this status is one big cover-up.
So, so just for a lay person, for someone who doesn't really know about what happened, can you just briefly tell us basically what happened here in Coolock, in the Stardust?
Yeah, well, not the night of the Stardust. Me being a seaman, actually, from what I picked up, I was working at sea, and I got a phone call pulling in Saturday morning. My brother said, I've got to get home to find the Stardust last night that Robert's
been. And that was a nightclub, basically.
That was the nightclub, yeah. And I went home, and my mother started crying. She explained, she said, Eugene, I know Robert is dead. And I said, Mam, we don't know he's dead yet. We just have to find out, just see what the outcome is when we went into the morgue. But she says, we've been in the hospice. So I couldn't take in because I was just stung as
of course,
just couldn't accept the fact that the way my mother was reacting and people with the atmosphere in the air actually around the area of Coolock, because
these are all young kids. Like,
yeah, well, we got notified that the three McDermott was missing as well. Like, you know, there's a lot of people missing. You know, so I just couldn't take. You know, just blank. So over the couple of days, anyway, myself and my sister was going in and out of the morgue, and I can recall looking at tent two. Mm-hmm. I just seen one of the guards come out with a bit of foam and it was off my brother's jacket. He said, I could identify the material, and I said, yeah, and I just collapsed. And I can just recall coming home in a police car, and I just broke out roaring and crying. As soon as I came to the door, my mother was up in bed, and when she heard me crying, she knew Robert had passed away.
I must have been so traumatic.
Oh, it was. And I just couldn't accept the fact that everyone just in the days, like, you know, and then I was hearing that Mrs. McDermott had lost three. You know, there was a just cold atmosphere in the north side of Dublin on that day, even coming home, you know. And I just can't accept the fact that how on earth did a thing like this happen. But I'm not happy with the way that they followed through with the as far as I'm concerned, that they're dead now. Just they were just bagged, just numbered.
And there was a lot of victims.
There was a lot of victims. Now, they identified my brother through dental charts. Now, I can recall on a documentary I've done with Paul Shannon, one of the fire officers, he explained they were actually in a line actually going on. They were picking up body parts. Now, I can't understand, as I said, I don't even know if my brother is actually down there. Mm. Because what have they done with these body parts? Mm-hmm. I just can't believe, you know, wrap them up, put them into these coffins and they're gone now. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not happy with that. I want to know the cause of my brother's death. Mm-hmm. There's no verdict on my brother's coroner's report. And there was only two people seeing that coroner's report, with myself and an ex of mine. And when I seen that coroner's report, I'm hungry and I'm very determined and I'm not giving up till I get the truth what happened in that nightclub.
We're going to get back to that, definitely. We're going to get back to that. June, do you mind speaking about your own experience on how you lost your own family members?
As Eugene said, it was a total nightmare. Mm-hmm. It was just chaos that night. I lived a door away from my parents at the time. Mm-hmm. And banging on the door, my father, fire. Total chaos. I just ran straight into my mother's.
Mm-hmm.
I had two children at the time.
Oh, God.
My mother was totally, totally like Eugene's mum. Mm-hmm. They were just couldn't believe it. But my father was a fireman.
Okay.
And he was out sick that night.
Mm.
And he just said to me, coming into the Saturday morning, he said, June, they're not coming home.
Mm-hmm.
He never spoke about his job. It was the only time he ever spoke about his job. He said, June, they're not coming home. And he looked at the fireplace and said, they're like that.
Oh, God.
So after that, it was just a nightmare, just trying to get them identified and buried. And as Eugene said, it's when he seen Robert's coroner's report. Well, I only seen her coroner's reports last mm-hmm. October. And it threw me back. I was totally brokenhearted all over again. I should have never looked at them.
Mm-hmm. And how did it take so long for you to see the
coroner's
report?
You see, with the case going on, we okay. need all the evidence, every right. shred so of evidence through. We need.
So how long is this case going on?
38 years.
38 years.
February. My 38 God. Years tomorrow.
Oh, my God. So who is there anybody being held accountable
no.
for what happened? No.
Well, My point, it's my opinion, mm-hmm. and I'll stand by it. And I'm not going to make any apologies to anyone out there. Mm-hmm. All these politicians down the years are a disgrace to the Irish people. And I blame the Irish people for voting them back in. But all down the years since the status, there was always there's opposition between Fianna Fáil, Fine mm-hmm. Gael, all down the years. And all down the years, they've been promising these families when we were on protest pickets and that, what they were going to do for us. And as soon as they get in, they renege on us. Mm-hmm. I think it's a disgrace. And I blame a lot of the Irish people out there anyway, because they keep voting them back in.
Right, yeah. Well, that's a political conversation about our government, and I totally understand your anger in regards to that. Can we get back maybe to the point of, like, where is it going? What's been going on for the last 38 years that you haven't had an answer? Like, what's going on?
We're just fighting, mm-hmm. fighting. I personally think the governments from 1981
mm-hmm.
and all the governments down since, they want us to go away. We have the people of Ireland behind us.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Bloody Sunday Trust behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Maeve McLaughlin there with us. And they are, the help they have given us and the support is brilliant. Now, you don't forget, the Bloody Sunday Trust, they had to fight
mm-hmm.
the English establishment.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting our own.
Exactly.
For our own citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And our citizens, they died unlawfully.
Mm-hmm.
And under Section 24 of the Coroner's Report, 1962, they are entitled to justice. And we'll keep fighting till we get that justice.
Well,
we
done.
Have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Absolutely.
Will do it.
I think it's owed to them.
Especially for the parents. And a lot of the parents have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene's parents have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
My father has passed on. My own mother is not too well at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
I want it for them.
Absolutely. So there's an answer to the end of this fight, this
answer.
Struggle.
Yeah,
I mean, have you been given any kind of,
no.
of submissions at all
no,
of the water?
I know the answer. The answer's lied in
corruption.
In the back end
mm-hmm.
because of the fact is that Judge McCartan was given a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, he didn't do his job, because if you're given a job, you do it right. I'm a decorator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to paint the woman's house under coat and glosser. I put the gloss on the finished touch. Now, he was given a job to do. As far as I'm concerned, he had never once had brought in any the outside witnesses,
mm-hmm.
that the people that seen that fire firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mrs. Kenny, one of the ladies who was watching that fire, 10 minutes before she made that 143 call, her and her husband was watching that fire, taking calls to the top of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 143 call comes in from the alcove, the sheet went on. So those two calls come in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my point is, this Judge McCartan has been given a job to do, and Irish state money is paying for him to do that job. And as far as I'm concerned, he didn't do it, because he never brought in any of these witnesses. As far as I'm concerned, he's getting told something. As far as I'm concerned, this is one big cover-up. And I make no apologies. To my dying day, I'll keep fighting and fighting and fighting. Because what they're telling us, these oppositions all down the years, that was one big cover-up. As soon as they get their chance to get in there and tidy up the mess, they won't do it. Because there's somebody up on top is telling them, no, we don't need it.
Well, you're right to fight, Eugene. You are right to fight. I mean, it's cut and chase from an outsider's point of view.
Well, as June says, they think we're going to go away. We're going nowhere.
No, good. Who's to blame?
I'm looking at Leo Vacri in power now, this government in power. Now, they've got a good chance now. Because when they were in opposition, they were saying what was you've got a raw deal. Now, they've got a chance now to give these poor women justice once and for all. Mm-hmm. As Joe McDermott says just there, her mother's not well. It's a disgrace. Mrs. Keegan there. I went on many a journeys in and out government builders fight with just myself and Anthony Keegan, Gertie Barrett and Mrs. Keegan. I'm looking at poor, God bless Miss Keegan. She's getting rolled around now in a wheelchair. Mm. I don't want to see these women. That's give me the strength to keep carrying on. And it's about time this government tidied up this mess and give these families, once and for all, brothers and sisters, justice once and for all. It's a disgrace. At least they can, with a stroke of a pen, and say, that case is closed. These families got justice once and
absolutely.
For all.
Absolutely. Justice at the end of the day.
To rest. Mm-hmm. You know,
and lay the kids to rest properly. So tell me how yous are getting on at the moment. I believe there's something, you've got a good big campaign going on right now.
The campaign is phenomenal.
Okay.
It went phenomenal. The people of Ireland, north, south, east and west, it even went beyond Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
They came to us.
Okay.
Our target was 48,000 cards, but as Eugene will tell you, we could have got 96.
Well,
and the rest. Yeah.
Okay, so you know now at least the government people are behind you.
Behind us.
Okay,
definitely.
And we all want justice.
Yeah,
we've a brilliant legal team.
Please elaborate a bit more on the legal team.
Darren Mackin is our solicitor.
Okay.
And Lynn Boylan and Enda Fanning, they are just great help to us.
Okay.
Fabulous help to us.
And have they come up with a game plan now?
Well, we have a game plan.
Okay.
The application is nearly ready.
Okay.
To go in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a few things that we're working on. But hopefully, maybe next week, we hear something.
Justice
we
will be
served.
We
want to meet the Attorney General, mm-hmm. and we want to meet Mr. Varadkar.
Okay.
But he keeps...
Yeah.
Mm. Trying to dodge the bullet.
As you said in the Dáil, I sympathise with these people. Mm-hmm. But they have to go through the right channels to see me. Like, the right channels.
Mm.
You know, come on.
So yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
They know
there was never any criminal investigation into that fire.
Nobody was ever.
The owners of that building
mm-hmm.
never even seen the inside of a police station. Two people were charged.
Okay.
Mr. Keegan, Lord of Mercy on him,
mm-hmm.
and Christy Moore for the song. The song was banned for telling the truth.
Mm.
And only for Mr. Keegan got the ball rolling on this,
mm-hmm.
and it killed him.
Yeah.
And fair play to Antoinette. I don't know where she gets the strength from. She just keeps going. Just won't give up.
Oh, I can imagine it's tough on any family involved. I can imagine.
She lost her sister, she lost her father through it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a survivor
mm-hmm.
of that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that just gives her more. She's seen what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's an actual witness for it.
She's actually a witness. Mm-hmm. But you see, there's corruption again.
Mm-hmm.
The vital witnesses that should have been called were never called.
They're not the same.
They were never called.
They know where to come when they're looking for their votes. As soon as they get mm. their votes, then it's good luck, Joe Doyle, they say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They got comfortable there, you know. So as far as I'm concerned, we're not going anywhere. And if there's anyone decent in there, they should give these families justice once and for all and say enough is enough.
Well, this time...
Give it closure.
It seems like you have a proper game plan.
Well, we feel we
action.
Have, because we have a very good team on board.
Oh,
and
brain.
All fairness now, we have a good team behind us. Mm-hmm. And we have a good opposition behind. And I'd like to... I looked at Richard Boy Barry, he's a proper gentleman, and he lifts him over in the Dáil.
Good.
Now, we have me mention Richard Boy Barry. Well, I'm going to make a point. Richard is a brilliant man, and mm-hmm. I've seen him many a times in the Dáil. I've been in Leinster House myself, and I've seen Richard lift him over. So I'd like to give Richard a bit of credit, a bit of geo for what he's doing for the Status Victims Committee that people don't see out there. I'd like to make another point over mm-hmm. the years as well, that making statements there, it wasn't in the public's interest. Well, let me tell them inside that government, it isn't the government's it's the Irish interest. Because they want to know exactly, because one day it could be their loved ones.
Oh, absolutely. We want justice for this.
And I want them to put their hands up and say they know the truth, because when they're in opposition, they're telling us to cover up. And as soon as they get given a chance to get in there and tidy up the mess, they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking the Taoiseach and the Attorney General to give us the new inquest and get a closure once and for all, so these families can get on with their lives. It's a disgrace to see that poor woman, Mrs. McDermott, and Mrs. Keegan carrying on, still fight for the loss of their loved ones. And I guarantee you, it was one of their family. It'd been a different kettle of fish altogether. And please God that the Lord is looking over it and give these the people in power guidance to get a closure to this once and for all and let these families get on.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Eugene. Absolutely. Well said. Yes,
like
yes, June.
I say,
yes.
I just have
to. No problem.
Dáil Éireann interfered with the rights of those victims. And they're interfering with our rights to get justice for those victims.
Mm-hmm.
And they have got to give us that. Like, we're pleading with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're only short of getting on our knees and begging. And it's our right. And it's those kids' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to keep going and keep plugging and plugging and plugging. And we will. We're not going anywhere.
Good. Well, I really, really hope it all goes well. Now, let's get on, lastly, to the 38th anniversary of the disaster and tell me a little about what's going on. So
there is a beautiful, beautiful plaque that's after being donated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be unveiled tomorrow evening.
Can you give the address of where people should go? Because it's a vigil, I believe, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Stardust.
Okay. Right, the Stardust site itself.
On Kilmore Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have the candlelight vigil
and there,
so
it's
the house at 11:30 as well.
Okay,
morning.
All right.
We're doing a candlelight vigil there at 11:30. And then after that, then we'll be making our way down there for the plant.
So if someone wants to be involved in the whole thing,
we have a lot
it can
of people,
be at Leinster House at 11:30 tomorrow and then carry on with the rest of the people.
Yeah.
To the actual site, which is, and there's a vigil there, I believe, from 6 to 7, is that correct?
A guest of Charity Board, he's on board with us as well.
Okay.
Charity will be making an appearance, and there'll be a lot of opposition. TDs or the opposition, they'll be all down there to give us support. But it's about time, like, I feel that this is the year that we've got to get a closure.
Absolutely.
It's gone on too long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no marker on the ground. Not one
nothing.
Mark.
Nothing. Yeah, I,
no.
To be honest, I've passed the site and I've noticed
there's
nothing.
There's not one mark to say what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So the plaque is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we all dug in together and got it organised. And
well done.
That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, a lot of people in the background there that get no recognition, Eugene will agree with me, that's
mm-hmm.
always been there for us. Our families, our relations, our friends. Like, they've been tremendous with the help and support, and without them, we couldn't do this. And as Eugene said, the Attorney General can't walk down them steps and give a statement and say, oh, well, it's not in the public's interest.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the public.
Absolutely.
48,000 people
mm-hmm. and
came
more.
And
mm-hmm.
signed those cards.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't ignore that.
I agree.
He cannot ignore
that. I'd just like
that.
To say when I'm speaking there, I'd love to see eventually...
Sure,
I'd love to see eventually, which it should have been done long ago, a proper memorial put down there. I'd like to see them buildings completely demolished and put a proper memorial for the loss of our loved ones, to see 48 lovely decent plaque put up there for them.
Absolutely.
Show respect.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So where people can come.
Yeah.
There's no disrespect to the place in Coolock there,
mm-hmm.
Where you have the other one. I think they all died in the status, and I think that's where it should be set.
I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks.
It's been fantastic, you guys, having us on. Is there any way anybody could find a little bit more information on this? If there's a website or a page or something where people can...
Justice for the Stardust on Facebook. You can go into that, Justice for the Stardust.
Justice for the Stardust on Facebook. There you go, folks. Justice
and everything
for the
goes up on it, everything we do.
Perfect. Well, everybody's on Facebook these days,
onto
Facebook. Justice for the Stardust. And if you want any more information, you can jump onto Justice for the Stardust on Facebook, or you can give us a call here on 867-1190. I'd really like to thank you for coming into the show.
Thank you for having us.
No problem at all. Near FM, we'll be there as well at the vigil.
We would appreciate if mm-hmm. a lot of people around the area could show a little bit of support for these 48 for down the park tomorrow, show a bit of consideration to them, because it's a nice mass and there's going to be a nice bit of music
mm-hmm.
and it's a big occasion. We have Charity Board there as well.
Okay.
And to see the plaque, and it's all, as June said, it's a beautiful plaque, you know.
Yeah.
And it's well due to see, you know, to go down there and see, you know, it's beautiful.
Fantastic. So folks, from 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock at the Stardust site, there'll be a vigil. So please get your butts down there, give some support, as much moral support as possible, and be very fragile about the whole thing. Please, you know, look after it, especially teenagers out there. If you want to lend your hand, please do. Also, if anyone has some time tomorrow, Leinster House at 11:30, is that correct?
11:30.
Leinster House at 11:30. Show the government that you mean business. Okay, thanks again so much, folks, for coming in. All right, everybody, that's a wrap for that, and we shall talk about it a little bit later on again. Eugene Kelly, thanks so much for coming in, and June Carol McLaren, thank you, thanks a lot. Thank you.